Well, if you have a Bible tonight, I want you to take your Bible and I want you to turn to Romans chapter 6. Can you do that? Romans chapter 6, that's in the New Testament. You find the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then there's Acts, and then it's Romans. So find that passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 6. And once you think you've got it, then you look up here at me. I'll know that you found it. And we can go on with where we're going here tonight. All right, some of you found it already. Good. Romans chapter 6. I see some of you have your notebooks out that you they gave you here, or some of you have other notebooks and a pen to take some notes in. That's a wonderful thing to do throughout the week, and to take note of things that God uses in your heart so that you can look at those later. That would be a wonderful thing to do. If you make sure maybe you say, I didn't think about that this time. You can think about it for the next time. We'll get together again in the morning and then again tomorrow night and so forth, and you can have that done. All right, I got something here with me tonight. I brought a whiteboard, all right? You all seen one of these before?
Yeah.
All right, can you see that okay?
Yeah.
Now, these things on here are numbers. Did you know that?
Yeah.
All right, and I know it's, I'll do this so we can all see better. There we go. All right, I know it is, thank you. Wow, all right, that's very sophisticated, it works. All right. Now, I know it's summertime, and we're not in school, but can we still talk about numbers for a minute? Is that okay?
Yeah.
No, it's not okay. All right. How many of you really, really like math? All right, there's a few of you. Hey, that's pretty good. All right, that's pretty good. Now, before we get to math, okay, before we do that, I actually am looking right now, and I need someone who is extreme. Whoa, don't raise your hand. You don't know what I'm asking you. You might not qualify. Okay. I need someone who is extremely trustworthy. All right, someone that I can trust to do exactly what I need done. I mean, someone that the most trustworthy person in the entire room. That's really what I need here tonight. All right, I'm looking. Yeah, some of you just need to put your hands down. No, I don't know you. I don't know if you maybe or not. Okay. All right, let's see. All right, right here, this young lady. What's your name?
Jordan.
All right, like the river in Israel. Jordan. Okay, all right, Jordan. I have something here. I need you to hold this for me. But, okay, I need you to don't open it until I tell you to. Okay? You're going to hold this for me, and don't look at it. Okay? You just hold it. Keep it safe. Make sure nobody else looks at it. Nobody else opens it. Make sure I don't touch it or open it. Okay? Can you do that? All right, so Jordan's going to hold on to this. Is Jordan trustworthy? Should we?
Yeah,
Jordan's trustworthy. Okay, cool. How old are you, Jordan?
No.
Almost 9. That's old enough to be trustworthy. Now, if you're almost 8, I don't know, but almost 9 is special. All right, so you hold on to that. Okay, I'm not sliding. All right, you got that? All right, Jordan's going to hold on to that. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I got some numbers up here, and what we're going to do is we're going to pick 4 numbers from up on the board. Okay, 4 numbers. And but here's how it works, okay? When we pick a number, we have to cross out all the numbers in that row and in that column, all right? So it kind of narrows down, and that's how it is. So once you pick, so for example, if you pick the number 1, we would cross out all these numbers and all these numbers. Does that make sense? Okay.
Uh-huh.
And so we're going to do that. So I need I need a volunteer here, right back here in the red shirt, all right? What number should we pick from here on the board?
1.
A number 1. He wants a number 1. So we'll circle the number 1 right there. All right. Cross out these numbers. Cross out these numbers. Okay. All right. He picked a 1. All right. Now I need another volunteer to pick another number. Yes, ma'am. Right here.
8.
The number 8. All right. She wants the 8. So we're going to pick the 8 right here. That means we cross out this. And we have to cross out these. Okay. There we go. So we've got 4 numbers left to pick from. So we're going to pick another number. So I'm going to come over here. Somebody. Yes, ma'am. She wants the number 11, okay, the number 11. All right, so we're going to cross out these numbers. All right, so we've got number, this one. All right, so let's see. Yes, sir, what numbers should we pick now?
15.
Well, 15 is crossed out, so we can't pick that one.
14.
14, all right, good choice, all right. That was his luck, so all right, perfect. He didn't really get a lot of choices. All right, so we have 4 numbers, right? Now, here's where the schoolwork math thing comes in. It's going to be a lot of work. Some of you got to turn that brain gun, crank it up high. It's been dormant for like a month, however long it's been since you got out of school. All right, so we're going to add together these numbers. Addition. All right, here we go. So let's start here. 1 + 8 is?
9.
Good, we're doing all right so far. Okay. Going to be a good week, I can tell. All right, so 9 + 9, so then 9 + 11 is
20.
20, good job. All right, 20. And so then 20 + 14 is
34.
So that's what it all adds up to, right? 34. All right, let's write that here. Take 34. 3, 4. That's what the numbers that you guys picked add up to, right? All right, now where's Jordan? Jordan, oh, there's Jordan. Okay. All right, Jordan, you got that piece of paper? Now listen, I don't want you to think I did something tricky, okay? So Jordan's going to open the piece of paper. I'm not going to touch it. Jordan, can you open up the piece of paper and show us what is on the piece of paper?
No.
All right, can I? Now listen, I'm done with the same piece of paper, too. 34.
No.
You picked the numbers, not me. Right? You picked the numbers, not me. 34. Did I come and change this out of your hand? No, she held this the whole time. Ho, ho, ho! Man. All right. I worked really hard to learn how to do that. So that I can just show you how amazing I am. Okay, you want to know the secret? We're going to do it again. I'll let you choose. You can choose different numbers.
It's still going to equal 32. I know
that. Yeah, you know what? Usually when people do like a trick like that, an illusion, they don't tell you how to do it. I'm telling you how to do it right now. It doesn't matter what numbers you pick. It will always equal 34. It will. Let's prove it. Let me prove it to you. All right, here we go. Ready? So you can do this and amaze your friends, okay? All right, here we go. Let's write it out again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. All right, that's a lot of work. All right, so let's pick four different numbers. All right, some of you didn't pick one before. All right here. Yes, ma'am. 16, she says. All right, so 16. All right, so we're going to cross this out, okay? All right, pick another number. All right, let's see. Yes, sir.
7,
he says. 7. All right, we're going to pick 7 right there. Okay, all right, down to 4. 1, 2, 9, and 10. Let's see. Yes, sir, Tanner. All right. 10, he says. All right, picks the 10. All right, and so now our last person has to pick. No, we have a 1 left up here. That's what it was. All right.
What?
Somebody has to pick 1. We have 1 number left to pick all the way here in the back.
1.
Thank you, sir. All right, good. Now, you pick those numbers. I didn't pick those numbers. Let's add them together. All right, ready to do some math again. Here we go. All right.
34.
1 plus 7
8.
Is?
8.
8 plus 10 is?
18.
This is a hard one. 18 plus 16 is?
34.
Every single time. It doesn't matter what numbers you pick. It's going to come out to 34 every time. So that's how I could have Jordan hold a paper at 34. It's really not, I'm not that amazing.
Yeah.
Hey, but math's cool, isn't it? Math's amazing. See? See, this is why you should love math. All right? Now, it doesn't matter what numbers you pick, right? It's going to come out to 34. It's certain, all right? I call this the certain number trick, all right? It will always come out to you. But you know what? I want us to think about another truth that the Bible teaches us that's every bit as certain as that. In fact, we can even say it's more certain. Okay, because we are sinners, no matter how hard we try, no matter what we might do, we deserve death. That's what the Bible says. Look here at Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bible, look at verse number 23. I want you to see it with your own eyes. What God's Word This isn't my word. This isn't the camp's word. This isn't our ideas. This is what God has said in the Word of God. Verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Listen, young people. You and I, we deserve eternal death. But Jesus died to give us eternal life. You deserve eternal death, but Jesus wants to give you eternal life tonight. All right, I want us to notice several things here as we think about this truth about how we deserve eternal death. It's certain, no matter what we do, what we might think, oh, but if I do this thing, then I no, doesn't matter how hard we try, what we deserve because we're sinners is death. I want you to see first the work of sin. The work of sin. It says here, the wages of sin is death. What is sin? We want to think about that for a minute. What is sin? All right. What do you think, sir? What is sin? What would you say? Yes, sir.
All the bad things we do.
The bad things that we do. All right. That's a good place to start. That's a good place to start. All right. Let's see. What would you say, sir? What is sin?
Anything not pleasing God.
Anything that doesn't please God. Right. So there's several different words for sin that are used in the Bible. And one, I like to think of it this way. One of them kind of has this idea that sin is when we step out of bounds. All right? When we step out of bounds, when we break God's rules that are laid down in Scripture. And the Bible definitely gives lots of things that God says, do this or don't do this. Things that express part of who He is and help us understand. He says, listen, don't do this, but yet we do those things. It's stepping out of bounds. A couple of years ago, I think in 2023, my family, we were down in Texas there, and I was preaching at a couple of churches there, visiting some family that was down there as well. And while we were with family, they took us to a rodeo. And the first time I had been to a real-life, legitimate rodeo, where they, I mean, like, these are people who are competing nationally type people coming in. And it was a pretty cool experience. All sorts of stuff going on there at that rodeo. There was, of course, the bull riding, and they had people riding these, trying to ride these sheep, and what they call mutton busting, that's what it was, and just all sorts of crazy stuff going on. One of the things that they had, though, that probably was the most amazing to me, was what they called team roping. And so this is where you have two guys who come out, kind of two sides out, and there's a chute in the middle. That's where the cow comes out, all right? And so that cow comes running out, and two guys come riding out, and one of them has to rope, okay, with a lasso, you know, the good old-fashioned cowboy, has to swing his rope and get it around the head of the cow. And the other guy has to use his rope and get around the back legs of the cow. And once they have both of those things accomplished, then they stop the clock. And it's trying to see how fast they can do that. And so there was different ones doing it. And they were doing it, honestly, anybody who can actually do that is pretty impressive. All right? I couldn't do that for sure. All right? But so anybody who does it is pretty impressive. But some of these guys, they were pretty quick. Well, then this group came out. Two guys come out, and they're ready to go. And they come out the gate, and cow comes running out, and they go, and all of a sudden they stop. And the cow just runs off. And so what's going on? And they had noticed that when the cow came out that it had a strange limp going on, that there was a little bit of an injury that the cow had. And so they didn't do it because they didn't want to injure the cow. And that was a pretty noble thing for them to do. They had to pay in order to be part of the rodeo. And they weren't guaranteed. If they didn't do it, there was no guarantee they were going to get another try, just because they were trying to be careful and not hurt the cow. And so they this is what they told us over the loudspeaker. Oh, this is what just happened. We see it. And they're right. That cow had something wrong with it. And so that was good. And so they decided that the rodeo leadership, they said, we're going to give them another try. But, oh, this was the hard part. See, when it's time for those guys at the rodeo to come out, the guys riding the horse, there is a little bar, or it's not a bar, it's like a rope, a tape that comes across, that they aren't allowed to pass through that tape until the tape is released. And if they do, if they break that tape, because they're just trying to get, they're so antsy to get out there as fast as they can, if they break that tape, then they get 10 seconds added on to their score, to their time. Which, in a rodeo, 10 seconds, that seems like it's really short. That's a big amount of time to get added on. And so these guys, one of them, when they were coming out, had just led just, so they're, when you're trying to do it, you have to anticipate when that's going to go, because your horse has to be moving so that you're not late getting out, but you can't be too fast. Well, one of these guys was just a smidgen too fast, and he broke that tape. And they said, so he's going to have, so they're, we're going to let them do it again, but there's going to be this 10-second penalty. And so they came around, and there was a couple other people that did it before they got to go again, and they come back and go around. I'm telling you, these guys came out, and it was unbelievable. I mean, it happened so fast. They literally, the cow was barely out, the head was already done, and then whoosh, the feet were done. It was, nobody else was even close in how fast they had done it. I mean, it was a matter of mere seconds. I mean, everyone else, it was just, I mean, the whole crowd went, whoa, so amazingly fast, incredible. And then they had the 10-second penalty added. And they didn't win that day. They didn't get second place. They didn't even get third place. Why? Because they had crossed over that line. Right? They had broken through. And so there was a penalty. That even though they had done something amazing, yeah, the penalty was still there. Because they had broken, they'd gone out of bounds too fast, they had broken through that line. Listen, that's what sin is. Sin is when we break through the line, we go out of bounds. Okay, I like to put it this way, and I believe this lines up with what the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, that sin is the transgression or the breaking of God's law. That sin is anything that we think, say, or do that goes against the word and person of God. Okay, so sin can be choices that we make, absolutely. It can be thoughts that we think. It can be words that we say. It can be attitudes in your heart. Anything that doesn't line up with God. Now, what does God say? Well, he says some things. He tells us, well, listen, that we should not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. That's one of the Ten Commandments, one of the most famous laws in the Bible. Okay? Don't take God's name in vain. So that's saying, oh my, and putting God's name in there, using it lightly. All right? Using it like it's a curse word or just something to be thrown around. I wonder, have you ever done that? If you have, you've broken God's law. Right? You've sinned. The Ten Commandments tell us that we should honor our father and mother. Now, honoring, we certainly, in other places, Scripture tells us to obey our parents. And honoring includes obeying, but obeying is more than honoring is more than just obeying. Okay, obedience is doing what you're told when you're told to do it. We might talk about that later this week. But honoring is even beyond that. It's maybe even doing what your parents would want you to do, even if they aren't around to tell you to do it. Okay, it's treating them with the respect and honor that they deserve as your friend. Have you ever been disrespectful to your mom and dad? You've broken God's law. It's sin, according to the word of God. Okay, we can go through many of the other Ten Commandments. We think about this one, where the Bible says, don't bear false witness. That means do not tell a lie. It's something that's not true. Have you ever told a lie? You say, well, it's just a little lie, just like a white lie. Yeah, no, it's still not the truth. Every lie, whether we call it a white lie or a black lie or a little one or a big one, they're all lies. It's all breaking God's law. It's stepping across the line. It's going out of bounds. It's breaking through that tape. It's sin. And listen, all of us are sinners, boys and girls, including this preacher up here, including your counselor. I know that's hard to believe right now, okay? But we're all sinners. We've all broken God's law. There's not a just man upon the earth, the Bible says, that does good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I just wonder, though, the big question is tonight, okay? I can stand up here and tell you, yeah, we're all sinners, but here's the question. Are you willing to admit that you're a sinner? That you've broken God's law? Do you recognize that, listen, that sin, okay, yeah, I've done that. I'm a sinner. So we've got to understand the work of sin, that these are, it's choices we've made. Things we said, I'm going to say this. I'm going to think this way. I'm going to have this attitude towards that person. I'm going to be angry and mad at that person because what they said and what they did, it's sin. It's breaking God's law. And we make those choices. So are you a sinner tonight? Have you made those decisions, the work of sin? Listen, we are. Are you willing to admit that you're a sinner? Now that's the work of sin. It says the wages of sin. But here's why I call it the work of sin. Because I want you to see now the just payment that it says here. The just payment. It says the wages of sin is death. Now what is a wage? Does anybody know what a wage is? Yes, sir, in the blue shirt in the back. What's your name?
Eli.
All right, Eli. What's a wage?
So like if you work a job and for money, you get another word for that earned money is wage.
Correct. So the money that you earn is the wage. We a word that we use more often probably is a paycheck. And I know you probably don't get a paycheck yet, all right? But your parents probably do, right? One of your parents at least, right? That paycheck is the payment that we deserve for the work that we've done. Well, what God is saying here in this verse is saying, listen, there is a payment that you deserve for the work of sin that you've done. It's a paycheck that you deserve. All right, listen. I need someone here. Wow, man. Look at this. All right, right here in this. Yes, sir. You in the cube. Come up here for a minute. Scared. All right. What's your name, sir? Say it again.
Finn.
All right. Good to meet you, Finn. I'm Mr. Mueller. Excellent. All right. We're gonna pretend something. All right. Imagine something. But I want you to imagine like it was real, okay? All right, so come over here and have a conversation. All right. Don't go too far. Just right. That's good. All right, so Finn, let's imagine that, you know, it's been kind of rainy. I don't know if you noticed that. I mean, it's kind of muddy here at camp. Did you notice that? Yeah, this will be exciting. Mud is fun, isn't it? Yeah, okay. So it's been kind of muddy. And my family and I, we travel around, and we have a 12-passenger van that we travel in. And on rainy days when it's really muddy, sometimes instead of walking back and forth down to, like, get dinner and all that, we drive our van back and forth, okay? So, but that means our van has gotten kind of muddy inside. On top of just being, you know, we travel in it, so it's kind of dirty. So here's my proposal for you, Finn, okay? Here's my proposal. If you would be willing to take the time and put in the work to clean out the inside of my van, like vacuum it, clean the mud out, if you did that, I'd pay you $50. Would you be willing to do it for that? $50? Yeah, okay. Yeah, that would be fair. All right. No room for pretending. But let's say we made that agreement, right? Hey, all right, we shook on it, said this is what we're going to do, right? All right, so then Finn, in free time tomorrow, instead of going and doing all the exciting things he could do here at camp, he says, $50, I'm going to clean out the Mueller's van. Who wouldn't do that, right? Come on. Obviously. All right, so let's say he put in all the work. It took him probably like 3 hours to do all that. I mean, because it's a big van, it's a lot of work, it's kind of muddy, it's going to take some time. You put in the 3 hours of work, okay, $50, maybe I should have bumped it up to 75. That's 3 hours of time. But anyway, all right, we agreed to 50, so 50 is what it was. So let's say you finish doing that work, and I come look at it and say, oh, wow, Finn, nice work. Good job. Looks well done, man, I'm impressed. I will recommend you for a job anytime. And Finn's looking at me just like this.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Good. And then Finn's like, so, is there anything else we need?
Oh.
Money. You wanted money? We did say something about money, didn't we? Yeah, well, listen, thanks for cleaning the van. But, you know, I appreciate it. Again, I'll recommend you anytime. And, but I don't really have $50 to give you. So, just, you know, maybe next time.
Thank you.
Ben's already starting to cry and we're just pretending. What would you be thinking? If that's what happened, what would you be thinking?
What?
You don't know what you'd be thinking. That preacher was a cheat. He lied to me. He was dishonest, right? Is that what you'd be thinking? Where you're just so kind and generous in your heart, you'd be like, okay, no problem, that's fine. 3 hours of my time, no zip line, and no money. Okay, that's fine, that's good. No problem. Isn't that nice?
No.
All right. Maybe think, wow, wait, that's not right. Right? Because we agreed. You said you'd give me 50. I said I'd give you $50 if you did the work. Right? And you know what? Would Finn be wrong? Would he be wrong for thinking that I was cheating him? No. But would he be wrong for saying that's not right? Not at all. Thank you, Finn. You can sit down. Thank you for helping. All right. It would not be, because you know what? Finn would be right to say, listen, no, I did the work. I deserve the payment. I deserve the paycheck. Like, that's what we agreed on. I agreed for that work. I deserve that I would deserve the money in return. That was laid out. I deserve it, right? It would be right for him to be a little bit like, this doesn't seem right. That preacher, you can't trust him. Now listen, God is trustworthy. And he's not going to cheat when you've done the work. And what the Bible tells us is that the paycheck that we deserve for our sin is death. And there's a lot of people who think, well, listen, I know I've sinned, but I sure hope God will just overlook that and just let me go into heaven. Or I'll try to do all these good things, and maybe that'll make God be happy with me so that he won't be concerned about the sin. But the fact is, God is a just God, and he's going to do what's right. And he said, if you sin, the paycheck that you deserve for that, just like the paycheck that Finn deserved for the work he did, the paycheck that you deserve for the sin that you committed, for the times that you lied, that you disobeyed your parents, that you took God's name in vain, that you had anger in your heart towards someone else, for all of those things, he says, the paycheck that you deserve for that work of sin that you've done is death. And it's certain. Because God's not someone who just overlooks. No. He's not someone who won't follow through on what's... No. He said, that's what the just penalty... The just payment for sins. That's the wages of sin. Now, what does it mean when it says that the paycheck, the wages of sin is death? What's it talking about? Well, there certainly is a dynamic where physical death is the result of sin. We go all the way back to the very, very, very beginning with Adam and Eve in the garden when they made the choice to go against what God said and to break God's law. They chose to sin. We go all the way back there, and it says what did God say? Listen, that when you sin, if you partake of this fruit of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil, he says you will surely die. There was no death before that moment in our world. None. But he said, listen, if you choose to go against what I've said, then death is the result. And ever since that moment, one man sinned into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. And physical death is the result of sin. All right, but what is physical death? Physical death is when somebody dies, it's the separation of the body. All right, that's our physical body, right? The part that we can see and feel and all smell and all those things. All right. It's the separation of that physical body from the part of you that lives forever, the inside part of you. Okay? And so if you've ever been to a funeral before and you go there and you see the casket there up front and there's a body laying inside, but what do we say? Oh, that the person isn't actually there. Their body is there. But the real them is somewhere else, either heaven or hell. Right? Because that's just the body. It's just the shell. That's physical death. Physical death is what we say, well, listen, that's a dead by life, because the inside part of them isn't there anymore. But spiritual death or eternal death is separation of our soul from God forever. Right? Separation from God forever in a place that the Bible calls hell. Now listen, young people, my intention tonight is not to scare us as we talk about hell, but we do need to face the reality of what the Bible says about hell, because it's a real place. Okay, and the Bible says, uses other words to describe hell. It calls it the lake of fire, eternal fire, everlasting fire, the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone. It's a terrible place where we will be burning forever in darkness. But the worst thing about it, it is completely separated from God. And that was never God's plan for you and me. Never at all. It wasn't what God wanted for us. God created hell for the devil and his angels. But when we sin, guess what? Sin is saying, I want to go my own way, not God's way, which is exactly what the devil said. So when we sin, we enter into the punishment. Because, well, that's what the wages of sin is. Death, yes. Physical death, we all will die at some point. But this is so much more than just physical death. It's talking about eternal death forever in hell. And young people, I don't want any of you to go there, but listen, that is what we deserve for our choices to sin. That's what you deserve for your sin. To be separated from God forever in hell. That's the paycheck. That's the wage that we rightly should be ours. And so we need to recognize, if we're willing to admit, listen, I'm a sinner, but you know what? We also have to, are we willing to agree with what God says and say, listen, because I'm a sinner, that means I deserve to go to hell. To be separated from God forever in that lake of fire, in that place of darkness. Are you willing to admit that today, young person? Well, listen, it's so important for us. We've got to agree with what God says. It's what we deserve, eternal death forever because of our sin. Listen, young person, if you were to die right now, where would you go? Would you be separated from God forever in that place called hell? Because, well, that's what you deserve for your sin. I said, well, I would, but I don't want to. I don't want to. And some of you would say, well, that is what I deserve, but there's something else you haven't mentioned yet, Mr. Mueller. You're right, there is. Because the verse doesn't end there, right? It says, the wages of sin is death. We have to understand that, but then it goes on and says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, what we deserve for our sin is to spend eternity in hell, separated from God forever. But God didn't want that to be where you end up. Because he loves you. He cares for you. And so he made a way for you to escape from that penalty. He made a way for you to be delivered, to not get the paycheck that you deserve, by giving that paycheck to somebody else. Jesus. I want you to see now the free gift. The free gift. The gift of God is eternal life. Listen, young person, God does not want you to have eternal death. He says, I want you to have eternal life. But what's eternal life? Well, eternal life, we can think, eternal life. Yeah, that's being with God forever, right? Forever and ever 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 and ever. You get the picture?
Yeah.
With no end. Right, just sometime, just sit there and try to think of what is forever like to make your brain go crazy. Forever. Being with God. That's what eternal life is. It's life that has no end. He says, listen, I want to give that life to you. I want you to have that instead of eternal death. Instead of being separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever, dying forever, eternal death in hell. He says, I want you to have eternal life with God forever and ever and ever. Isn't that good? Isn't that awesome? But you know what? Eternal life isn't just being with God forever. Eternal life is even better than that. Eternal life is knowing God forever. John chapter 17 tells us that this is life eternal, that we might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So we sometimes think of eternal life as something that will happen someday in a someplace. But listen, eternal life is actually being a friend with God forever. And that's what God wants you to have. He wants you to be a close friend with Him forever and ever and ever. That's awesome. He says, listen, that's the best thing about heaven. Not that it's going to be a place where there's streets of gold and a place where, you know, there's no sadness. Listen, those are all good things. But the best thing about heaven is that we get to know God like we've never known Him before. Without any sin. Eternal life, that's the gift God wants to give you. Listen, you deserve eternal life, eternal death, but Jesus wants to give you His eternal life. You say, well, how does that happen? You said it's a free gift, right? Yeah, notice it says, it's the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God through Jesus Christ. You understand, this gift can only be yours through Jesus. Now listen, Jesus is God, but He became a man. And that's a little hard for us to understand. If it's hard for you to understand, okay, as whatever age you are, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, it's okay, because guess what? I'm 38 and it's still hard for me to understand. Okay? But it's true. Jesus became a man, God who became a man. And why did He do that? He did that so He could live a perfect life. He never sinned. You and I, we've all sinned, but Jesus never sinned. He lived a perfect life, and then He was condemned to die for sins He didn't commit. Right, He was falsely accused, and He ended up being put on that cross there after He was whipped and beaten. And He was put on that cross. You know what He was doing when He was hanging on that cross? He was taking your place. Right, He was paying the penalty that you deserved to pay when He died on that cross. He took the paycheck that you deserve. He took your eternal death as only He could as God in human flesh. Because your sins were put upon Him, the Bible says, who His own self, speaking of Jesus, bare our sins in His own body on the tree, on that cross. Jesus took every lie that you ever told, every time you disobeyed, disrespected mom and dad, every time that you took God's name in vain, every time that you were angry with that sibling, every time that you stole something, every time you cheated on that schoolwork, every single one of those sins that you ever committed, Jesus took and they were laid on Him. And He said, all right, since those sins are on me, I get the paycheck. I get the death. The eternal death, the separation from God. And He was separated from God. He cried out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And Jesus died, even though He didn't deserve to die. Because He was taking your sins and my sins on Himself. He was paying He was getting your paycheck so that you wouldn't have to. Oh, but Jesus, He didn't stay dead. You know that, right? 3 days later, He rose up from the grave to show that, listen, yeah, He took the penalty. Yeah, He got the paycheck of death, but He was stronger than death. Death couldn't keep Him bound. No. He rose up from the grave so that He could be alive today to give you His eternal life. He says, I want to today give you something so much better than that eternal death. I paid for that so that you could have life with God forever and ever and ever. And He says, I want to give it to you as a free gift. How many of you like gifts? Yeah, we all like gifts, right? We absolutely do. Well, He says, I'm offering this to you. It says it is the gift of God. A gift is, by default, free, right? If it's not free, it isn't a gift, is it? Okay? Oh, let's see. I got something back here. Look at this nice little box. It's a wooden box. Not too amazing, but it's a box nonetheless, right? All right? Jesus. He says, listen, I want to give you a gift. All right, so let's see. I get lost here. Me. Oh, man, like way back here by Mr. Gale. Oh, let's see, in the blue shirt right there. Oh, yeah. All right, this is fine. Yeah. All right, green shirt. Green blue. Yep, come on up here. All right. What's your name, sir?
Cyrus.
Cyrus. All right, Cyrus the Great, right here. Right? Yep, good. Okay. Cyrus, all right, so let's say I want to give this to you as a gift. Okay? So this is a gift. I'm going to give it to you. Let's say, all right, how do you get that gift? This is for you. Well, just don't talk about the spirituals. I just like it. This is the gift right here. Take it all like that. Okay. All right, so let's say you take the gift, right? No, you don't take the gift. That's too simple, right? Okay, yeah, of course. All right, so this is a gift. I want to give this to you. You can have this. A gift for you. Okay? This is going to cost you $5. You guys are really nervous about me as a preacher now, aren't you? Yes. Not trustworthy. Yes. Right? It's going to cost you $5, all right? Is it a gift then? No, you're buying it for me for $5, right? Oh, yeah, okay. All right, you're going. Well, you can just take it then, all right? Just take it. All right, good. Now, if you've got that, just every year for the next 10 years, just send me a buck. Oh, then it wouldn't be a gift. See, a gift, in order for it to be a gift, it has to be free, right? And listen, he says this is a gift. Eternal life is a gift. That means you can't pay for it. If you paid for it, then it wouldn't be a gift anymore. So it has to be free. And you know why it can be free? Because Jesus already paid for it. He paid for it. And so, in order to get the gift, you know what all you have to do is? Take it. Receive it. And now you've got it. And guess what? Here's the amazing thing. I love this verse, all right? How do we receive this free gift? Okay? Well, Ephesians 2 says this, "For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So we receive this gift by trusting Jesus. They're saying, listen, I'm not going to trust me anymore. I'm going to put all my trust in Jesus and what he did for me. All right, another wonderful verse is in John chapter 1, where it tells us that as many as received him, right, that means to take, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So the way that you receive Jesus is by believing on Jesus, by putting all of your trust on Jesus and Jesus alone. You know what happens when you get Jesus? Pull it out. You know what you get when you get Jesus? Open that up. What does it say?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Turn that around so everyone can see that. Listen, when you get Jesus, you get eternal life. They come together. When you trust Jesus, it says you got eternal life. The Bible says, he that has the Son has life. If you don't have the Son, you do not have life. And so listen, he says, when I want you to have this gift of God that's eternal life, he's saying, listen, I want to give you Jesus. I want Jesus. All right, thank you, Cyrus. I appreciate you. It's a free gift. You simply have to be willing to take that gift by trusting in Jesus and Jesus alone. Stop trusting yourself and what you can do, trying to be good, trying to be, you know, I got to be baptized maybe, or I got to go to church, or I got to read my Bible or pray a lot. No, you don't trust any of those things. You trust in Jesus and only Jesus. He is all that you need. Put all of your trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. That's all it means. To trust him to do all of the saving, for you deserve eternal death. You say, listen, I'm going to put all my trust in Jesus and only Jesus to give me his eternal life. He promised he would. And if he promised he would, then I'm going to believe that he meant what he said. I'm going to come and stop trusting me. I'm going to trust Jesus and only Jesus. Does that make sense? What it means to trust Jesus? All right, how many of you here have ever flown before? Anybody ever flown before? All right, good. Quite a few people have flown before. All right, good. Well, Mr. David, you've flown before.
Sir.
This is awesome. I'm excited. Come up here. Yeah. Man, this is perfect. All right. I'm sorry. So you've flown before. Where did you fly to? Okay. Well,
Cameroon.
You flew across the ocean. It's a perfect guy for this. All right. This is great. All right. So, Mr. David, I want you to fly for us. All right. Just do it for us right now. This is really good. Wait. Let me video. Ready? Now.
Yeah.
sit down, sit down. Somebody else said they have flown. You've flown for us.
Yeah.
You can, or come, come, can you go fly for us? Maybe? I don't want any maybes here. You've flown before? So you can fly again, right? All right, sit down, sit down. Oh, wait, wait, wait. What did you say?
We have a plane.
A plane?
Plane. Yeah.
Did you say something about a plane?
Nope. He did. He did.
I don't remember.
He doesn't remember.
Yeah,
oh, wait a second. So you mean that you've only, you've flown on an airplane.
Yeah.
You can't fly.
No.
Without one.
No.
So when you get on an airplane to fly, I've flown before on an airplane plenty of times. I remember I went to the last flight I took, I think, was from Florida back to Chicago, or to Milwaukee, I think. And so I remember we got on that plane, sat down next to the guy next to me, and said, all right, everyone, prepare for takeoff. Make sure your seatbelts are fastened. Help the person yourself before you help the person next to you, all that good stuff, right? All right, they said, all right, we're going to take off. Here we go. We all went. Did we do that?
Yeah.
What would everybody been doing if I started? If I started doing that, y'all would be looking at like. What's wrong with the dude? All right. Must not be all there. Why? Because you know what? You know what? How much of the flying was I going to do? None of it. How much of the flying did the airplane do? All of it. You know what all I had to do? Was to trust the airplane to do the flying. And listen, just as ridiculous as it would be for me to sit over there and say, this is going to somehow help that airplane fly, it's just as ridiculous as when you and I think, well, if I'm a good person, that'll help me get to heaven. If I do good things, that'll help me get to heaven. If I try to make sure I'm just nice to people and I help people and I pray a lot and I get back, all those, like, think that's going to help me get to heaven. No. You have to trust Jesus to do all of the saving for you. Only Jesus. He's the only one who can give you eternal life. Stop trusting yourself and what you can do. It's as simple as just saying, I'm going to receive Jesus and what he did. I'm putting all of my trust in Jesus and Jesus alone to save me. Well, listen, we deserve eternal death. You do. I do. But Jesus wants to give you his eternal life. The question is, have you received him? Has there been a day in your life when you said, I'm going to stop trusting me and what I can do to get to heaven, and I'm going to put all of my trust on Jesus and only Jesus and what he did for me on the cross to get into heaven? Listen, if you haven't ever had a day when you made that decision, you could make that decision tonight. You could go away to bed tonight instead of wondering, I don't know, I hope I'll go to heaven when I die, knowing I know for sure that I'm on my way to heaven when I die. I know for sure that I have eternal life, not because I finally got good enough or I finally figured out what I need to do. No, because I simply said, Jesus, I'm trusting you and only you to save me from sin and hell. Listen, young people, hell's a real thing. Sin is real. But Jesus died and arose again so that you could have his eternal life. You'll simply receive him. Let's bow our heads to prayer. God has done a great job listening tonight. And we'll do something like this each evening, but we'll have a time we call it invitation. Okay? And during this time, what I want you to do is just put your Bible books away. You're going to have your head bowed and your eyes closed. You're not going to be looking around at your neighbor or other people. Okay? This is a time for you to think about what was just preached and a time for you to let God show you if there's something, a step that he wants you to take, something in your life that you need to do in response to what we just saw that the Bible said. And so tonight, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, you don't need to look around. This isn't about what your neighbor, what the person seated next to you is doing or down the row or across the room. This is about you and God. Every time we have an invitation like this, what is God seeking to do in your heart? And tonight we talk about one thing very specifically. Okay, the matter of knowing for sure that you have eternal life by trusting Jesus and Jesus only. And with no one looking around, you don't need to look at anyone else. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I want to ask this question first. Okay? Again, you don't need to look around. It doesn't matter what the person next to you does. Okay? You just be honest between you and God. But how many could say today, Mr. Mueller, I know for sure that there has been a time when I put all of my trust on Jesus and Jesus alone to save me. I know there's been a time when I received that free gift of eternal life. And you lift your hand and say, Brother Mueller, that's me. I know for sure that there's been a time that I received that free gift of eternal life. I'm absolutely certain of it. All right, good. You can put your hands down. Okay, that's wonderful. So many were able to say that. Not everyone was. I appreciate those who were honest to say and didn't raise your hand because you didn't know for sure. And I want to talk to you all that were not able to raise your hand, not because I'm just trying to focus, but because this is what the message was about, knowing for sure that you have eternal life by trusting Jesus. And I wonder tonight, are there any who would say, Brother Mueller, I don't know for sure that I've received that free gift of eternal life. I'm not sure that I'll spend eternity in heaven. There hasn't been a time that I've put all of my trust in Jesus alone, but I'm concerned about that, and I'd like to do that. I'd like to get that settled. I want to trust Jesus. And you'd look around and say, that's me, Brother Mueller. I'm concerned about that. God's working hard, and I need to put my trust in Jesus. I never have, but I need to. Say it doesn't matter what anybody else around you is doing, what they think. But I would say tonight, I need to be saved. I need to have that, receive that free gift of eternal life. Anyone at all who look in your hand and say, that's me, Mr. Moore. That's me. I'm not ashamed to say it. I need to be saved. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. It's the most important thing, young person. Anyone at all. Lord, I pray that you would help these tonight that maybe don't have certainty in their heart, but are perhaps feeling the pressure of just other people being around and the honesty of admitting such a thing, Lord. And I pray you would give them grace right now and courage and a concern, a conviction in the heart to say, I need to get this settled. I need to know for sure that my sins are forgiven. I need to know for sure that I have that eternal life instead of eternal death. Lord, I pray you'd help, even in this moment of invitation. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.